Welcome to the latest episode of Connect Ed Tech,
a podcast where the E and D may or may not stand for Elizabeth
and Daryl.
Hey there, welcome back to Season 1, Episode 3 of Connect Ed Tech. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Daryl. Welcome back, our Connect Ed Techers. If you're new, thank you for joining us. We've got a show for you, don't we, Elizabeth?
We have a really good show for you.
Always.
Always.
Right.
Never a dull moment.
3 episodes. If we stop now, we'd have a trilogy.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
No, we're not, because we're having way too much fun.
Way too much fun. We're going to keep it going. If you tuned in last time, we had our very first guest, Steve Dembo, talking about virtual reality.
Steve Dembo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun stuff.
It was a really good time. Daryl went on a little escapade and
capturing raccoons, actually.
Did you get it?
We never caught it.
No, never caught the raccoon.
I don't think it ever came back. It left and never came back.
You know but what I think?
Say that. What? What
there
is
was
that?
No raccoon.
Probably not. But thank goodness there was, you know.
It was a bum living in your attic.
He's probably still there.
Maybe.
I haven't been up there since, so.
Yeah, could be. Maybe it was a virtual raccoon.
Mm.
So our guest today is a really cool guy, Phil Campbell.
Phil Campbell, yeah. Mm-hmm. Excited.
PC Rocks is his handle.
Right.
PC Rocks, yeah.
So what's he going to be talking to us about?
Talking about building relationships and climate culture on campuses. He goes around all over the country speaking to different high schools and stuff. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. We'll talk a little bit later about how we met him ask him some questions about what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really cool.
Awesome.
But what else? What else is going on? What's new?
No. Anything else new? I don't know.
Hey. Oh, my goodness.
What?
Okay, I am so sorry.
What?
Can we pause? Because I'm getting a phone call, and I really need to take this. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Don't pause. Just keep going. It'll just be
Daryl,
my show.
Really.
It'll be the Daryl show. Right. Go, do your thing.
Are you sure?
I got this. Phil Campbell and I will do our thing. So, hello, everybody. This is the Connect Ed Tech with Daryl Legaspi, the one and only. My partner in crime over here. Disappeared on us. So let's see what we're going to talk about. You know, virtual reality was great. I tried it a couple of weeks ago. Oh, hold on a second. Okay, that's a little creepy. Hold on a second. Hello?
Hi, Daryl. Do you want to play a game?
Sure, I love games. Let's play a game.
It's called What's in the Bag.
Okay, I think I've heard that about that game before. Uh-huh, okay.
Look under the table and you will see a brown leather bag.
I was wondering why that was there to begin with. Okay. Brown leather bag. Smells like leather, like my grandmother's bag.
It's not about the bag. It's what's inside the bag.
Okay. Bunch of random stuff. Okay, what you got? How does this game work?
You have 3 minutes to connect all the things in the bag.
Like a jigsaw puzzle?
No, you have 3 minutes to make a connection between the items
in the bag.
Okay.
So, all right. Three, or else what? What's going to happen if I don't do this in 3 minutes?
You will forfeit your rights to use any type of technology for 1 month. Your time starts now. TikTok.
Elizabeth! Elizabeth! Are we gonna, okay.
What is going on?
Not enough time to explain. We just gotta find a way to connect all these items that are in this bag somehow.
Oh my gosh, you're
3 minutes, or there won't be an episode 4.
Okay, so you've got.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. What else is over here?
Is that a map?
We got a map.
Nobody uses maps.
I don't know.
Okay, there's a map. Maybe it's going to have a clue.
Maybe it has a clue. Let's look to see, because we love escape rooms.
But he said there's a connection between all the things.
There's a connection between all this
stuff.
Okay,
so there's a map.
A map.
There's a wallet. There's a book.
A book.
Okay. Is it a traveling thing? Is it things you take on vacation, maybe?
Things to take on vacation.
There's a camera. Yeah, maybe.
Okay. How do we know for right? What's going to happen? Okay. I don't know. I don't think so.
I have no idea.
The timer's still going.
I have to say, if I had to take all these things on vacation with me, I just wouldn't go, because this is a whole carry-on by itself.
I wish I could use the internet somehow to help me find the answer.
Why would I even take this stuff when I have all of these things already on my
phone?
And who is this guy that called you?
I don't know. It was just some random, I don't know. I thought it was a robocaller.
Do you have a stalker?
Now you're creeping me out.
Well, I don't know. I'm just like, it was just kind of weird. Maybe it was an April Fool's prank or something.
It is April.
But it makes me think.
And I am a fool.
It made me think. It really did. Because I think about just the fact that in this little bitty device that I carry with me all the time, I have all the stuff on it at my disposal. And I don't need this stuff anymore, right?
All of this fits in here somewhere. Yeah. The map, I couldn't survive without my GPS. I don't even know how to get home from here.
This
my northeast, southwest,
live
who knows?
3 miles from
I know.
Here.
It's kind
you
of embarrassing.
You literally live 3 miles
I need
from
here. I need this.
Yeah. I do too. Not really for that, but like for the internet and pictures. Pictures are huge. But
social media.
Yeah. So it keeps us connected.
Right. It does.
Yeah, our phones do. But can they harm us in any way, you think? I mean, are there negative drawbacks to it?
I mean, addiction, right? Like we see our kids as educators. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they just can't stay away from it. Even in class, you see them on their cell phones all the time.
Right.
And then we, as educators, we try to find ways to, you know, leverage that.
Yeah.
But sometimes too much can be too much.
Yeah.
It can be a distraction.
Nothing in excess, as the Greeks say.
There you go.
Nothing in excess. To thine own self be true.
Oh, wow. Now we're getting all philosophical
here.
Well,
you know. That's just me. That's how I do things. But I think that's a really good point. I think that the phone is invaluable to us these days in the 21st century, but also need to find time to unplug. How do you unplug, Daryl?
How do I unplug? Well, you know, it is the Lenten season. I try to find a way to give up something.
Okay.
And I've tried giving up social media, Facebook. It were, I mean...
The Instagram.
Oh, Instagram, not so much. But yeah, Instagram, Twitter. I don't know how I can survive without Twitter, though. But other ways that I do it, I have an actual alarm clock that I have next to my bed. I don't use my cell phone as an alarm clock.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I set it outside in the living room.
Okay. So are you scared that of the what's it called, the radiation or something?
Should I be afraid
of
that?
I don't know. I heard there was something with the radiation.
No, it's just when you wake up in the morning, it shouldn't be the first thing that you look at, you know, when your alarm goes up on your phone. Sometimes I'm like, okay, what do I have to tackle today? I go to Gmail, it's work email. But now I've focused it on my wife.
Aww.
She's the first thing
that
I see
in the
morning.
Well, I don't have a wife.
Well, your husband. Your future husband. Springer Dinger.
I don't have a husband either. Is somebody calling you again?
I don't know. Maybe it's my stalker.
Oh, my goodness. That's kind of scary.
Actually, that was a boxer beep.
Well, okay.
That
so the relationship
beep.
Stuff, I mean.
Right.
I think that the phones keep us connected. I think we need to be more conscientious of
right.
how much time we spend glued to our phones.
Right.
I mean, when I think about, you hear that saying about if your house catches on fire, what are you going to rescue? What are you going to keep or take with you? I mean, pets and people, humans excluded, right? Disclaimer, we will rescue them first.
Right.
But I mean, I think most people would say my phone.
Your phone.
I
exactly,
absolutely
yeah.
would take my phone. It has all my pictures on it.
Everything you see here can be
on
that device.
Exactly. Right. It's all there. And it's just with the tap of a button. But it can be a little cumbersome too. So
yeah.
Just
so
balance.
Balance. There you go. That's the word.
I think that's the key word. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking to Phil Campbell of PC
oh,
Rocks when we come back in the second part of this podcast and see what he has to say about it. Because, again, like we said before, he travels all over the country, going to districts and speaking to students, talking about culture and climate and building relationships. So I'm sure he has to stay connected with his family and all these people that he comes in contact with as he goes. So,
All right.
Anyway.
So we'll take a little break.
We will. We'll take a little break, a little commercial.
Gotta clean up our mess.
A little commercial break, and we'll be back with Phil Campbell.
All righty.
You can find all things related to the Connect Ed Tech podcast by visiting our website, flippinggoodtech.com. And while you're there, make sure to click on all the tabs for a closer look at who we are and why we're passionate about everything we do.
And most importantly, be sure to follow us at Flippin' Good Tech on all social media platforms and subscribe to our YouTube channel for quick access to all the latest podcast episodes, Connected Tech promos, and Flipped in 5 Tech Tips.
Welcome back to Connected Tech Season 1, Episode 3. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Daryl.
And as promised, we have our special guest in the studio with us today, Phil Campbell. He is joining us all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Phil. Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil.
The Dr. Phil.
How's
the
everybody
doctor
doing?
Is
the number one Dr. Phil in my life right now.
That's right. The real Dr. Phil.
The real doctor.
real Dr. Phil.
And unless he's watching. But
he doesn't charge a copay. No copays.
Right, exactly.
I've got good insurance, so. So.
You have school insurance.
I know, it's okay.
So Dr. Phil Campbell is an ambassador for Jocelyn's Renaissance. Tell us a little bit about what you do and kind of your background in education.
Sure. So I've worked in education for 16 years as a teacher, as a coach. I was an athletic director, and I was also a principal. And we utilized Jocelyn's Renaissance in our school and had a lot of success with it. And so Jocelyn's Renaissance is all about culture and climate. It's all about making sure that every single person, students and adults alike, feel like they're valued, like they're connected, like they belong to the schoolhouse. And so now what I get to do is I travel all across the country and even beyond that as well. And I work with students and with educators about how can we foster those positive relationships on our campus so that we can create these dynamic cultures that we're all trying to create at our schools.
That's awesome. And as promised, we told the viewers and the listeners that we were going to be talking about building relationships. But before we get into that nice little discussion, I wanted to talk about how we met you the first time. So Daryl was with me.
Yes, it was yesterday.
It was. Yeah. Okay. It was like 2 years ago. It was an interesting time. We happened to be at one of the high schools in our school district there in Kingwood. And we were coming out of the school and we saw this huge bus and it said Jocelyn's on the side of it. And I think it had some cool graffiti looking stuff. I wasn't sure what was on it. I don't really remember because it was right after Harvey. But we did see you and you were wearing this bandana and you looked super cool. And I was thinking, I nudged Daryl a little bit and I said, hey, Daryl, why can't you be more like that?
I can't. I mean, how can
and I'm
I
like, I had to meet this guy. Right? I had to meet him. So I still kind of didn't know what you did. But tell us a little bit about that time and how you ended up at Kingwood.
Sure. So every school year, we have what we call the Jocelyn's Renaissance Tour. And so that year, during that tour, we had 48 tour stops. And so Mike Smith, who is a youth speaker as well, and I traveled around the country together. And we were on this big giant tour bus there. And we had stops scheduled for the Houston area. But with Harvey and everything that went along with that, there'd been so much school that had been canceled and all that good stuff. And so we had to cancel the tour stops, but we didn't want it to just be like a wasted trip down there. And so we ended up getting a bunch of different clothing items and different things donated. And so we went to three of the different high schools there in the Houston area and dropped off a lot of those clothing supplies and different things at the schools there so that students and staff members alike could benefit from those. And so that's what we were doing that day when we met there in Houston.
So amazing. Harvey hit us hard here in the Houston area, and Kingwood was a large part of it, was pretty affected by it and impacted. So we really appreciated you and all the other people who came in and just really offered support and rendered aid during that time. And we're just back up and going now, and you couldn't really tell that there was a Harvey. But anyway, so we're grateful for that. So thank you.
For sure.
So let's talk about building relationship a little bit.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that. So you travel a lot. So how do you keep that connection with your family while you're traveling so much? How do you foster the relationships there?
Sure. And I think, you know, that's the hardest part about doing what I do is, you know, people see the stuff that you get to do on the stage and they think, oh my gosh, that's the coolest thing ever, right? And it is super cool. It's a ton of fun. But at the end of the day, you're going back to an empty hotel room, right? And so I think that's where technology plays a huge role in being able to stay connected, especially with family and friends back home, whether it's through simple things like text messaging or, you know, you can pick up the phone and FaceTime and be able to see faces and everything. So it's almost like even though you're not together, it's almost like you're right there together and you're able to foster and continue to maintain some of those relationships and just talk about, you know, the day, how everything went. Was it a good event? Like, did something go a little bit different that day than what normally does? All that kind of good stuff. But yeah, technology plays a huge role in staying connected.
You make sure you make time to connect with your family and your friends back at home. And that's important too. So we have the technology, but you have to create the time and to do that.
100%. You have to. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that I speak about every single day is that we spend so much of our time, especially as educators, pouring ourselves into other people and into other people's families and other people's children, right? But it's so important that we don't lose sight of our own families and our own people and of ourselves. And so you've got to make that time every single day to love those people that you go home to. And more important than anything else, you have to make the time every single day to love yourself. Because if your cup's empty, how can you fill the cups of others, right?
Ooh, that's great. It's deep.
Really good point. So give us some examples of how you make sure that you love yourself and you fill that cup so that you, because you're, like you said, you're giving a lot of you. You just ended a tour. Tell us a little bit about the tour, kind of to give the listeners and viewers an idea of what you were doing and how much you were traveling and how you're able to kind of replenish. I mean, we got you back here with us the very next day after you came back. I don't know how we did it, but talk us through how you're able to stay and refresh.
Sure. And I think the important part, and you know, I share the same thing with teachers because a lot of teachers face getting burned out, right? And so I think it's important that you build something into your calendar. I try to do it at least once a month. That's just for me or just for me and my family, right? That we can do together. And so I just finished up. I was on a 13-day road trip where I was literally from coast to coast and then back to the, I went from East Coast to West Coast, back to the East Coast again over the series of 13 days. But during those 13 days, I had the opportunity. I was out in California for a part of that. And so I went and I toured the San Diego Padres Stadium. And then I went a few days later and I toured the San Francisco Giants Stadium. And I'm a huge baseball fan. And so that was super, super cool for me. But just little things like that, that kind of give you that break from the monotony of what it is that we're doing there, something that you can look forward to. So I was excited about that. I'm going to Chicago here in a couple of weeks. And so I'm actually, I think it's going to work out to where I'm going to get to go to a Cubs game. So like, I'm super stoked on that too. So I think it's just important. How can you build things into your calendar that are just for you, things that you really enjoy doing?
Oh man, he sang my song, Daryl.
Yeah, bandanas.
We chose these colored bandanas specifically to represent the Astros today. You've got some red going on for the Cubs, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Yeah, I gave him orange because I look better in blue.
I'm just trying to coordinate with my. I'm just, you know, I'm such a fashion guru guy.
Oh, there you go.
Do you see George Springer right up here?
Right.
I know you've been seeing some home runs.
Yeah.
Coming out of the Astros.
Yeah, whatever. I'm a Braves fan. So I'll forgive you for the Astro stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's okay. We'll continue to talk to you. And next time you're in the Houston area, maybe we can take you to an Astros game.
I would love to. That would be awesome. Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
I see the pictures behind you, Phil. And it looks like music plays a huge role in your life. I've seen videos of you on stage with your guitar. So how do you incorporate that in your tours and in education?
Sure. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of music. And these guys actually behind me are actually Texas folks from the Red Dirt, all Texas right. And Oklahoma, that I just absolutely love their music. I've been listening to it since I was, you know, early college days, probably late high school days. And so I'm not very talented at musically, but I think music is such a powerful thing, right? I could argue that it's the most powerful force in the world, right? Because it brings people together. And so a lot of times at my events, I'll bring my guitar. Sometimes I bring my little box drum with me as well, and I'll get people up on the stage. I'll bring students up on the stage and they'll sing with me and they'll play the drums. And we usually end it with a Don't Stop Believing sing along. And that's a song that, you know, it's timeless, right? Like, my grandparents know that song. My son knows that song. My son is actually, he's actually at keyboard lessons right now. And so he's, for his talent show here this year, he's going to play Don't Stop Believing on the keyboard. And so like, how cool is that, right? You know, and so it's just a way to kind of bring everyone together, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of where we come from. We all have a genuine appreciation and a love for music. And so it's just a way to really showcase some talents and some abilities and to end the events on a super cool note.
I feel like we should do some three-part harmony. Just a small town girl.
Right.
Living in a lonely world.
I took the girl role.
My falsetto. I have to show the viewers that my falsetto is pretty decent.
We might
save
that for another episode.
That is cool.
So tell us a little bit about how relationships are important for the campuses and the students and how teachers and administrators can do their part in sort of building that culture and climate to create that positive relationship atmosphere.
100%. I think relationships are the backbone of everything that we do. You know, we spend so much time focused on test scores and all the things that go along with that. And there's so much pressure on us in the world of education to produce these numbers, right? But if you don't have relationships, if you don't have love, you can be the best teacher in the world, And none of that's going to matter, right? If your kids don't genuinely believe that you love them and that you care about them. So I think it's important from day one that we start to establish and we foster those relationships, because without those, like I said, nothing else matters. And those kids that are hard to reach, that are on the fence, that could go one way or the other, that are kind of falling through the cracks, so to speak, those are the ones that we've really got to love. And there's some days when it's hard to do that, right? But that's where we have to make a concerted effort as educators and as leaders. We've got to figure out, what is their story? You know, what is it that they're dealing with? Because so many of our kids are dealing with things that are just, they're just insane. Like, it's just mind blowing, some of the things that our kids have to grow up and that they have to go home with every single day. And so we've got to make it a point to learn those stories and then to use those relationships and those connections to further build and establish that love that we have between each other, so that then we can take them to that spot where they need to be in the world of education.
I love that. And beyond education.
100%.
I love that. That's great. I'm thinking you are an administrator and you're also a teacher in the classroom. Did you have some specific strategies that you used when you were on the campus that kind of helped to create that atmosphere and foster those relationships?
Sure. You know, as a teacher, on the first day of school, I would tell my kids, I don't care where you came from. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how much trouble you've been in the past. None of that matters now, because you're on my class roster. You're in my classroom. And that means you're my kids now. And I'm going to love you. I'm going to take care of you. And then I did. And it was just kind of like this, you know, the looks on their faces when you're saying that to them, right? Because they don't hear that very often, you know? And so I just think, like, from day one, that was the very first thing that I would tell them. And then on that first day too, I would take butcher paper. I would put it across my entire wall and I would put the words, "You matter," right in the center of it. And then every single one of my kids got to dip their hands in paint. They got to choose whatever color paint they wanted. And they got to put their handprints up there on the wall. And then they got the sign right underneath that. And so it was kind of that ownership piece, right? So all of a sudden, like, he's talking this talk, but now we're really doing this. Kind of makes it real for him. So I just think, like, from day one, that's where it starts. And then from there, it's, you know, it's in the hallways. It's in between classes. It's before school. It's after school. It's going and sitting down at a table during lunch and eating with the kids, right? And just having a conversation. It's going to their sporting events. It's going to their theater events and to the, when the choir has a performance, it's going out there and checking out and seeing what that's all about, right? It means the world to those kids when they look into the stands and into the audience, into the crowd, and they see that you're sitting there and that you've made the time out of your schedule to come and be a part of their life. Because the truth is, a lot of our kids don't have that, right? From adult figures in their lives. And so they're looking for someone. My whole big mantra is, I see you, I hear you, and I love you. And that's what we all want. Like, I want that. You guys want that. Our kids want that. We all want to be seen, heard, and loved. And so as an educator, if I can do those three things for my kids, that's just going to make my relationships that much better. And it's going to make that power of education that much stronger in our kids' lives.
Oh, that's really powerful. I've seen Daryl in the classroom before. I mean, and where we are right now in the school district we're in, I've worked out of the classroom. But I've witnessed Daryl in the classroom and his engagement with the students, and even with what he does right now on the campus as a media specialist and how he interacts with them. He's probably got a few tricks up his sleeve on making that go. You want to add some strategies out there? People might want to know.
You hit it pretty well, Phil, but just being yourself, really, because sometimes students just have to know what your true personality is. And it's just to have fun with them, you know? You only see them, if you're in a middle school, an hour a day, and you just want to make it, you know, a meaningful encounter every time. So I'll stand on the table and I'll sing some song. I'll do my falsetto. We'll sing some "Don't Stop Believing" in class. But you know, you just gotta enjoy your job, and you're very passionate, and I think we are too in education. That's why we're doing something like this. But just keep the passion alive, you know.
And I think people have to not be afraid to look stupid.
The vulnerability, right?
But you do, because I mean, if you have to laugh at yourself and not take yourself too seriously, I had to learn that, because I'm such a perfectionist and I'm really hard on myself, and you want everything to be just like the semblance of like you've got it all together. But every once in a while, you just need to, actually all the time, you need to be human and let that come out.
We're actually robots.
I love it. No, you guys are exactly right. You have to be yourself. You know, you have to be authentic, just like you said there. And, you know, I think that's a lot of where the bandana comes in is I had a lot of conversations with my kids about a lot of different things. But one of the things I talked to them about a lot was teacher dress code. And what do you think about on that first day when I walk in and I'm just dressed to the nines, right? And a lot of their answers were, you don't know me. You don't know what it's like. You don't know my struggle. You can't relate. And I was like, okay, I got you. And so I never wore a tie again. This is more of who I am. And so, like you said, the kids see straight through it. Like if you're trying to put on a show, the kids see straight through that. So you have to be authentic. You have to be real if you want to establish these meaningful connections with those young men, young women on your campus.
So how can technology hurt this relationship? I mean, our podcast, vodcast, whatever you want to call it, our talk show we've got going on here, is all around connect, education, technology. But sometimes technology can get in the way. So how have you seen that kind of be a hindrance more than a help?
You know, I think there's drama with everywhere that you look. There's drama, whether it's with teenagers and whether it's with adults, you know, and like, you want proof of that, you can hop on Twitter right now and you can pull up the president's Twitter account and just read the comments. And it's insane. Like the things that most of them are adults that are posting on there, right? That they, you know, and it's not just him. It's pretty much any celebrity. If you say something, I was reading a Chipper Jones put something out earlier today, and then there's people that will agree with him, and then there's people that are, you know, calling him out. And it's like, do you not have anything better to do with your lives, right? You know, like, why do you do this stuff? And so I think with any type of forum that you have, whether it's technology, whether it's face-to-face, whatever the case may be, there's always going to be somebody that wants to stir the pot a little bit there, you know? And so I just think that's where you have to be careful of how are you using technology. And I think that goes back to, we have to do a better job of teaching our kids the healthy ways to use technology and what the positive ways that you can use it for. Because there's so much positivity out there, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's always those negative, and, you know, negativity is going to get the news headlines, and that's what people are drawn to. So I think you just have to be very careful with that balance of how are we using it and how are we educating our kids? And the truth is, like, we need to educate a lot of our adults too on how to use it in a positive manner.
Oh, absolutely. Education is the key. We talked a little earlier in the show about knowing when to unplug. And Daryl mentioned about how he doesn't go straight for his phone right when he wakes up in the morning. Who do you go straight for, Daryl?
My wife, but full disclosure, that came from a Simon Sinek video. So we add that as a resource.
Absolutely.
My wife is my focus every day. Make sure of it. So cell phone's out in the living room, plugged in, and I just use an alarm clock, try to detach myself from.
Except when the power goes out and the alarm clock doesn't go off, then we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Yeah. One of the things I tried a while back was setting different alarms on my phone, which is sort of ironic. But I would set alarms reminding myself to unplug or get up away from my desk and walk around and stop looking at the screen. And then at like 9 o'clock, the alarm would go off and tell me to go wind down and read an actual book. Not on my phone, but an actual book. If they still have those. They still have libraries too, because we're in one right now.
I'm more of a book person too. I don't do ebooks. I just gotta feel the pages. Yeah, I need to feel smell pages. The pages.
Like it. Well, okay. Is there anything else you wanna tell us about building relationships before we start to kind of wind down?
No, I think you guys hit it pretty well there and added in some different things there too. But I would just say, like, that has to be the foundation. It has to be the foundation of our teacher-student relationships. It has to be the foundation of our administrator-teacher relationships, right? It's the foundation of everything. Because, again, if someone doesn't believe that you genuinely care about them, then I can't be the great leader that I need to be in terms of where it is that I'm trying to get them to go. Right. And so I think, again, like, that's the whole key to everything that we do in life, is those relationships and loving one another.
I thought I didn't have another question, but I do.
Okay.
Okay. As an administrator, we talked about kids a lot, but how do you inspire and motivate the teachers, the faculty? How do you get that buy-in from them to create that atmosphere of positive culture and climate on campus?
That's a good question.
A great question, for sure. And I would argue that the adults are much harder than the kids are, mm-hmm. right? Because a lot of times as adults, we're set in our ways and we have our thinking and how we do things, and we're not as open to change and to innovation and to new ideas. And so I think, you know, and you guys talked about this a little bit earlier, you have to lead by example. You have to be willing to put yourself out there and take some chances and take some risks. I think it's important that your administrators are modeling the expectations, whether that be instructionally. And so a lot of times, you know, staff meetings, for me, a lot of times were so just like mundane and monotonous. And it was like, you could have just sent an email and said all that stuff, right? And so instead of just standing up and talking the entire time, let's lead a lesson, right? Let's model an instructional method that our teachers can use. And so I always tell principals, they need to lead the very first one. And then after that, let's pick our assistant principals and other educators on our campus that are just rocking it out, right? And then they get to leave a lesson, right? And so it just provides those examples for our teachers of, oh, okay, well, I never thought about doing something like that. I never thought about using that method in my classroom. So I think that's an important part too. How can we set those examples? What are different, you know, there's so many unbelievable books out there right now in the world of education that can help to make our teachers better, make you better leaders, better people, better instructional deliverers of instructional content, right? And so let's incorporate some book studies on our campus. That was always a big deal to me there as well. I think social media and technology, like we talked about, especially with Twitter, you can get more professional development on Twitter in 10 minutes than you can a lot of times mm-hmm. throughout your entire school year. Like there's so many unbelievable rock star educators that are on there that are sharing these ideas and tips and tricks and strategies, like just for 10 minutes every day. If you scroll through there, you're going to see some super, super cool ideas and super cool content of some different things you can do there. So I would start with those things. I think those are great examples that you can use from an administrator perspective to help your teachers become better at what it is that they do.
Can you name some of those books?
Oh, man. One of my favorites is Teach Like a Pirate by Dave Virgin. It's a phenomenal, and it's all about creating an experience for your kids, right? So often in high school, it's a lecture-based format. And like, I get bored after 10 minutes of listening to somebody talk, right? So who wants to listen to somebody for an hour, hour and a half? So that whole concept is, how can we get people outside, we can get them up and moving and doing things and creating experiences with our kids as opposed to standing and delivering. So that's a great one. The Innovator's Mindset by George Kuros is a great book there as well. And then along with that, Teach Like a Pirate, there's this whole series of books that go along with it, or Lead Like a Pirate and Run Like a Pirate and Balance Like a, like there's a whole series of books that go along with that. A book that I'm reading right now, which isn't necessarily related to teaching instruction, but it's called Unthink by Eric Wall. He's a graffiti artist and speaker. Phenomenal. Like he is so good. A great, great speaker. And it's all about thinking, like I always say, blow the box up, right? And that's what this whole book is about. It's about how can we take some different routes, some different roads, some different strategies, if you will, to attack these issues that we're having to face in our everyday lives.
Cool. I got a new reading list now.
I love that. Who do you follow on Twitter? Who do you recommend?
Well, I follow you guys.
We follow you back.
Yeah, which is super cool. Oh, man, there's so many. I was actually, just before I got in on here, one of my friends, and he's actually keynoting at our Renaissance conference this summer, Hamish Brewer, is a principal in Virginia, and he just released the second video about his school. He's a principal in Virginia of a middle school, and he's taken two schools now from like the very bottom of the barrel to full accreditation. And this video that he just released kind of walks you through that whole story of Fred Lynn Middle School and where it was and where it is now today. And I'm just like crying my eyes out watching it, because like that's why we do what we do, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you haven't watched that, like you need to check that out. Like it's so good. So I would definitely recommend Hamish, Danny Steele. He's a phenomenal educator in Alabama. He's actually getting into the college ranks now next year to help teach teachers how to become teachers, which I think is super cool. Todd Whitaker, he was a major influence on my life, one of the first people that really got me into this whole educational type thing. Everything here was with Todd Whitaker. So I'd say that would be a pretty good start for people right there.
All right.
We'll add these to our website. We always have a little link to resources from each one of the podcasts, and we'll make sure that we add them. And if we didn't quite get the spelling right, I'll reach out to you and make sure we get those exact names and exact Twitter handles. But if you could leave the viewers and the listeners with like a 3-word call to action, just something to kind of motivate them, inspire them to get out there and build those relationships. What three words would you use, or could be something you already?
That's tough.
Yeah, he saw these questions ahead of time.
I was like, I want to know what he's going to come up with.
No, this is on the spot.
I'm gonna go with six words.
Okay.
Inspire the hopeless, empower the dreamers.
Ooh. Inspire the hopeless, empower the dreamers.
That's one of the taglines
that I for Star Wars.
When I'm speaking. And I think that's what we do as educators. That's our goal, is that's why we got into this, right? Is inspire the hopeless, empower the dreamers. There are kids out there that are beat down, that are defeated, that literally have no hope. And so what can we do to inspire those kids? And then on the flip side of that, we got those dreamers out there, those kids that have these, you know, places they want to go and things they want to do and things they want to accomplish in their lives. How can we as educators equip those young men and young women with the tools and resources and the knowledge that they need to where they can go out there and chase their dreams and accomplish those things?
I love that so much. Thank you so much. Any more questions for Andrew?
That's it. Thank you, man. I'm motivated.
I'm really motivated too. And I hope that our viewers and listeners are motivated as well. I'm so thankful to PC Rocks, Dr. Phil Campbell, for joining us today after such a long tour across the country. We really appreciate that. And just check out our website, flippinggoodtech.com. Follow us on Twitter at flippinggoodtech. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. We'll be posting some of the resources that Dr. Phil mentioned to us, and we also will be letting you know who our next guest will be for May. Do we even know who our next guest will be for May?
Do we?
It's a surprise.
We'll be there for sure.
We'll be there for sure, hopefully with audio and video and no problems. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Daryl.
And we'll see you next time on the Flipping Good Side of Tech. And that was real slow-mo. Yeah, real slow-mo for you.
Look compatible. Okay. High five, episode 3. Boom.